Carpenter and Rothman. Our buddy Steve Hellwagon, 247sports.com, covering the Buckeyes for decades, and here he is. We turn back the clock, and we're back in business on Blue Star. Stevie Hellwag, good to have you, my friend.
It has been decades and decades for sure, yes.
Well, all right. So if it's been decades, let's go there. Aside from the little first half struggle they had, and believe me, the struggle was real on Saturday night, but then they make the adjustments and they dominate the second half and they are who they are. I'll ask you, you've covered this team for a long, long time. You've seen the best. You've seen great teams disappoint. You've seen underdog teams like 0-2 just kind of get by. And then when they get their at bat for the title, they come through. Give us your view of this team now, two hurdles away.
Yeah, I think you got to put them at or near the top of the ones at least that we've watched going back to when this program came back, and that was in about 1993. Mm-hmm. You went through about a seven or eight year down period there, late 80s up through 93 when they were, 10-1-1. And then from there, the later years of the Cooper era, then into Jim Tressel. I mean, about, what will this be, 25 years of data, I'd put this team at or near the top. I think talent-wise, 95, Orlando Pace and so many others, but they lost two games, you know? I mean, so I don't know. That it, there have been so many great teams over the years. Tressel had a couple. And, of course, all of Coach Meyer's teams were top 10 caliber type teams. But to be the best, you know, you've got to beat the best. And that's what's out in front of them now with Clemson. And then, obviously, the winner of the LSU-Oklahoma game, if they're able to get to the championship. So if they clear these last two hurdles, I'd have a hard time coming up with a team that's any better at Ohio State.
Steve, I want to ask you about J.K. Dobbins because, you know, covering this university, this is a school that's had a ton of great running backs come through here. Now this guy's put together quite the little three-year run here. Where do you think he will be, not ranked, but among the, you know, top running backs in Ohio State, where do you view him? Is he up in that top crust with the names we all know, or do you think he's a little step behind those guys as far as his legacy he's going to leave behind?
I think he's definitely top five. I think when you talk about Archie Griffin, he's on a level above everybody else, two Heisman trophies. Eddie George won the Heisman Trophy. Ezekiel Elliott won the national championship and the Sullivan Award as the nation's top amateur athlete that one year. So, I mean, you talk about decorated guys. There's the Mount Rushmore right there. Those three. And then you have others, you know, on that list. Keith Byers probably could have or should have won the Heisman Trophy in 1984. Other than the Doug Flutie Hail Mary, he probably wins it. So, but, you know, I think J.K. deserves his credit. Split time the last 2 years, still accumulated a lot of yards for the Buckeyes. And what he did on Saturday, I mean, again, another game over 150 yards against a top 10 team and a top 10 defense, 172 yards, 33 carries, one touchdown. He put the team on his back in a lot of respects in the second half when they were making that comeback. And certainly Fields came alive as well, hit a couple big plays. I mean, people haven't talked about it, but the scramble play to Chris Olave for 50 yards might be the single biggest play of the game as you kind of go back over it, because that kind of jump-started everything. If they have to punt there, I mean, you know, they're going deep into the third quarter and still trailing. So, I don't know. It to me, a lot of things came together in that second half, but you can't underrate Dobbins. He's at or near the top of this list, just like this team is.
Steve Hellwagon with us. 247sports.com. Let me ask you, who do you think will get the invite to the Heisman tonight?
I think it's Chase Young. I just think it's unique from Ohio State, if that's what you're asking. I think.
Well, more, I'm asking Young, if maybe more than one.
Well, that's a great point. I think Joe Burrow certainly is the mm-hmm. odds-on favorite. I think Jalen Hurts has a potential from Oklahoma to be there. You know, they don't always limit it to three. If there are four mm-hmm. people bunched up really close at the top, they can take four. If it had to be another guy, I would say it's probably Fields. I mean, you look at what he's done, 50 touchdowns, one interception, 40 passing, 10 rushing. I mean, that's uncanny, the things that he's done. Did we like how he played in the first half on Saturday? Not particularly. I don't think I think it took him some time to get confidence with his knee and get confidence in his receivers and his protection as much as anything. And then he really came on in the second half. But I think the quarterback position kind of carries that weight. And I don't know. If there's a second one from Ohio State, I would say it'd be Fields.
Steve Hellwagon joining us here on The Fan. I want to ask you about Jeff Hafley, because you're around this team, around the players, around the coaches. Just, we hear a lot from outside of that building of what he's meant to this team on the recruiting trail and all that stuff. Like, what have you seen personally from your eyes that is, what has he brought to the table to get this Ohio State defense to where they are this year?
Well, I think it's just an awareness. Yeah. I think it's just that when the opposing team is attacking you in a certain way, he and Greg Madison have found a way to come up with different things. Like they used the 4-4 defense with Justin Hilliard the first time around against Wisconsin. Well, go guess what? Wisconsin was ready for that this time, and they moved the ball up and down the field like 260 yards or whatever it was, an absurd number in the first half. And the Buckeyes made the proper adjustments in the second half. Of course, getting Jeff Okuda back out on the field in the third quarter meant the world. I mean, he was able to help them check Cephas, who had done so much damage in the first half. And the pass rush started to get there. And it's amazing when things come together, what happens. And the result was, until the last drive, you know, at the end, when Ohio State had the comfortable lead and was kind of backed up and just saying, here, take the underneath stuff. They only had 60 yards in the second half until their last possession. So, and it ended at the 5-yard line, you know, when Cone got knocked out of bounds on the last play. So, you know, Ohio State essentially gave them 60 or 70 yards on the last drive, knowing they had the game in hand. Ohio State completely slammed the door on them the other possessions in the second half. And I think that's where Hafley and Madison really came through. And as I said, it helped getting Okuda. That was a tremendous difference, him being back on the field in the second half. And it was interesting. I interviewed him on the field after the game. And it's, you know, I got an intelligence report, get a load of this, guys, from my wife, who was in the fifth row behind the bench. And she said he threw a fit when he came out of the game and was told, hand us your helmet and your gloves, you're not going back in. And for whatever reason, he was able to convince the medical staff he was able to go back into the game in the third quarter. And he made a tremendous difference, as we all saw.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I mean, that goes to them trying to err on the side of caution. Then maybe once they further examined him, that, you know, and then you're in a tough game, obviously, too. You know, you're in a game where you need him. So if he is cleared, you got to go. Let me ask you this, your initial thoughts, your initial reaction. I think every, you know, certainly I don't think it's any fault on Buckeye fan for not for wanting to be number one seed. They certainly wanted to avoid Clemson if possible. I don't think that's a, that's just reality. It doesn't come from a moment of being scared. I think a moment comes from just being realistic. We know how talented Clemson is. What are your early thoughts on this matchup where you play the defending national champs who don't come in battle-tested, but you respect everything, that the talent that they are, against an Ohio State team that has gone just through the gauntlet?
Yeah, you make a great point. And I think Ohio State people were so insulated here in Columbus that everything is from the Ohio State point of view. And you have to take the view of the committee, which is coming from all across the country. I mean, LSU did play and beat 4 of the top 15 teams. Ohio State beat 5 of the top 20. It's a virtual wash. They went in and did a number on Georgia. Ohio State struggled, you know, in the first half before everybody went to bed, essentially. And that was the last thing a lot of people saw probably before they went to bed, although I'm sure the committee stayed up and watched to the end of the game. But so that explains that, in my opinion. It was razor-thin margin, and LSU just had the better game on Saturday.
Yeah.
So that was the tipping point. Going to play Clemson, 28 straight wins. I mean, my goodness. And they feel affronted. You know, they started the season number one and got dropped to 3. And Dabo Sweeney is playing that underdog card, even though Vegas has installed them as a slight favorite. I just think Ohio State, with the tests that they've gone against, I give them the edge. I mean, that, you know, Clemson is going to find out what it's really like to be like on like. And Ohio State's had that time after time after time. Mm-hmm. Clemson hasn't played a team with anywhere near its caliber of talent. And I think when they do, it's going to be a little bit of an awakening.
Well done, Steve. Great talking with you, buddy. We'll hopefully see you soon.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks. That's Steve Hellwagon, 247sports.com, bucknuts.com.